I'm Dr. Brian Myers, an OBGYN serving in rural Tennessee and a lifetime member of CMDA. I am overwhelmed reflecting on the many ways CMDA has touched my life. CMDA was instrumental at the beginning of my medical training at the University of Tennessee at Memphis. While serving on the CMDA leadership team my second year, I was motivated by a program presented by Dr. David Stevens. He spoke of his service as a missionary physician at Tenwick Mission Hospital in Kenya. Within a week, I had signed up to do my fourth year electives at Tenwick Hospital, which forever changed my life. It was at Tenwick that I met another lifelong mentor and man of God, Dr. Mike Chupp. Dr. Chupp, by example, showed me what it meant to be a servant and disciple of Christ in medicine. CMDA has been instrumental in shaping my faith and desire for missional living. Upon returning from Africa and starting my practice in Tennessee, I was able to join with like-minded Christian medical and dental professionals who had also been shaped by CMDA during their training. We formed a CMDA Southern Tennessee chapter. I am thankful for CMDA's numerous programs, the CMDA National Conventions, the GMHCs, the Remedy Conferences have provided spiritual, educational, and networking opportunities. My wife and I grew spiritually as we walked in the footsteps of Paul, traveling through Greece and journeying to the island of Patmos, where John was exiled. So thank you, CMDA, for transforming this doctor and truly transforming this world, taking a stand and making a difference, because CMDA truly matters.
Well, I want to welcome you to Summertime and CMDA Matters, which is a weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. I want to thank Dr. Brian Myers for that compelling story of how the Lord has used CMDA to help mentor and coach him through life as a Christian physician. God gave me the wonderful opportunity to work with Dr. Myers several years ago when he was a single medical student on an elective rotation at Tenwick Hospital in Kenya. As you have listened to these stories over the last couple of weeks, like Brian's, I hope you've recognized some similarities with your own story, how the Lord has used CMDA in your life as well. I don't think too many of you listening would disagree with me that as healthcare professionals, we need ministries that understand the busy complexities of our lives. Maybe someday I will have the privilege of hearing your CMDA story. Until then, please join me in praying for the many ministries of CMDA, including communities that are on our campuses, among graduates, spouses, and within various specialties, advocacy in the public square, service to our members and by our members, and the various educational and training ministry opportunities we have developed. I also want to ask that you consider a gift to CMDA to help continue these ministries, which the Lord is using in the lives of nearly 19,000 members today. Here in June, during a challenging season in our country, we need your prayers and financial support. Our fiscal year ends in less than 2 weeks. Making the effort to help us end the year with a positive bottom line would mean so much right now. The best news is that thanks to some of your fellow CMDA members, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. I'm happy to report that with a few more gifts by June 30th, we will be able to claim all of the $130,000 matching gift. Thank you for joining us in the ministry of changing hearts in healthcare. You know, recent events in our country have led me to reflect on a week back in February during Black History Month when my guest on CMDA Matters was Dr. Omari Hodge. Omari is a Black family physician from Atlanta who also happens to be on our Board of Trustees. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to my conversation on CMDA Matters with Omari because he has such good insight into how we at CMDA can play a role in the ongoing battle against racism. As followers of Christ, it is time, brothers and sisters, that we stand together now more than ever in providing hope and healing for our nation in Jesus' name as one human race. We believe that God's will for mankind is to treat all people everywhere in all situations with love, humility, kindness, compassion, and self-control, since we were all created in His image. Well, speaking of being created in His image, our campus and community ministries hosted a webinar in early June called Created in His Image. This webinar focused on reversing the effects of racism on health and healthcare with a wonderful panel discussion. The timing was so critical, with the subject of racism on every American's mind. Some very important questions were addressed by the panel, so I urge you to watch the presentation, which can be viewed at cmda.org/racism. My guests this week are Chad and Etta Neighbors, a young married double doctor couple who just graduated together in May from the Edward Villa College of Osteopathic Medicine, also better known as VCOM, in Blacksburg, Virginia. Dr. Chad Neighbors earned a Bachelor of Science degree in biology and pre-med from Lee University in 2015 and graduated from VCOM this past May. He's been actively involved in several school-sponsored organizations, and he has volunteered his time often to serve in medical missions outreach clinics, both domestically and overseas. His wife, Dr. Etta Grace Neighbors, also received her title as Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine from VCOM last month. She has served as the student chapter treasurer for the American College of Osteopathic Pediatricians and as VCOM admissions ambassador. Additionally, she has been engaged in medical missions and was inducted into the Gold Humanism Honor Society in 2019. I asked my good friend and CMDA Vice President, Reverend Bill Reichert, to join me for this interview. You know, Bill has been involved in student ministry with CMDA for over 10 years. First, he was in Atlanta as the area director, and then over the last 3.5 years, at our national headquarters, directing our campus and community ministries. I hope you'll excuse the pun, but I can't wait for you to meet these wonderful neighbors of CMDA. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have two brand new doctors to introduce to our listening audience, Dr. Etta Neighbors and her husband, Dr. Chad Neighbors from Virginia College of Osteopathic Medicine, 2 weeks now with their degrees. Congratulations, Dr. and Dr. Neighbors.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chad. Thanks for having us.
Well, we've been working on this interview for a while, actually for 2 years, because I was in your house, a host in Abingdon, Virginia. And when I came back from that experience, I said to our national director for our campus and community ministries, who's here at the mic with us today, Reverend Bill Reichert, we got to get these guys into the studio.
Yes.
And together with their classmates, because it was an experience quite unlike any that I've ever had with a group of students. So we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But Etta, you've now graduated. What's ahead for you in the next couple months?
Well, I will be starting residency at Prisma Health in Greenville, South Carolina. I'll be doing pediatrics here, so I'm excited to get started. I've already connected with some of my interns and been in touch with the program director and the coordinator, and they already have a really great group here, so I'm really excited.
And Chad, what's ahead for you?
Yeah, so I'll be doing family medicine at AnMed Health in Anderson, South Carolina. It's about 30 minutes from Greenville. Kind of the same. We're starting pretty soon. But yeah, we're just getting in touch with our classmates as of now.
Now, as I understand your story, you took advantage of the Christian Marriage and Dating Agency in that first year of medical school. Tell us about how you guys got together.
Making love connections.
That's right.
So we both joined our school's chapter, CMDA, I guess in the middle towards the end of first year of medical school. And that is how we first met and connected. And, you know, we had a friendship first and then we started dating. But yeah, Chad, you want to tell them about the Bible studies that we would go to?
Oh, yeah. So we were both kind of involved in CMDA first year, not as much so until the end of first year. We both started getting more involved at the same time there. And I think, yeah, the first time we met was at a large bonfire Bible study. And after that, we just hung out all the time. We'd go to the Bible studies together and just grew from there.
Yeah, I think it became both of our favorite part of the week once we started going more regularly for a lot of reasons, of course, the fellowship and the Bible study, but also to see each other.
Well, you know, students that land on a medical school campus, they're uber busy and lots going on. And yet you all made a decision to get involved with CMDA. And now that you've had the privilege of hindsight, that you've gone through medical school, and there's a good chance that first and second year students are going to be listening to this podcast, what would you recommend? How would you advise medical students going through their medical school experience now in terms of decisions to make or opportunities to take?
I think my best advice would be to find other believers and get involved with them just for fellowship and accountability. Hopefully there's a CMDA chapter at your campus, but if not, you can create your own or find your own little community of believers. But I just think it's so important to keep a good perspective because it's so easy, like you said, to get wrapped up in the busyness of med school day to day. And it really just helped me kind of zoom out, realize what's really important in life and in eternity. And it kind of helped the stress melt away, even if it was just for a little bit. But then throughout the week, I could kind of reflect on what we talked about on Friday night. And it just helped me get from week to week. And it helped me set myself apart from my classmates and remember that I don't have to treat med school and life the same way they do because I have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Chad, what about you?
Yeah, I would second that. For me, early on, I just felt like I was drowning in the academics, and med school is intense and it'll just continue to ask more. And for me, when I got more involved in CMDA, I just felt so much more refreshed. Even when it came to studying, I didn't feel so overwhelmed. And to have believers at the school who can relate to what we're going through, that was a real blessing.
It's causing me to have some flashbacks to my own first year in medical school and getting together with other Christian students. And I don't know what it was about the other students, but when we got together in that Bible study, people just started sharing their hearts. And I realized I wasn't the only person in the room who was struggling with keeping up and being concerned about exams and failing, and for the first time in my life. So when did you guys tie the knot? How far along were you before you decided to say I do?
We got married the very beginning of third year. So we started dating the end of first year towards the beginning of second year and got married beginning of third year.
Yeah.
So we dated for about a year.
Well, I proposed. I proposed in 4 months.
Smart guy.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we got married, I guess, September 2nd, 2018.
Yep.
I'd like you to tell our listeners about how you and your classmates in CMDA fellowship came to the conclusion that it was so important to maintain this body life as students that you decided to all work together to be placed in the same satellite place for your electives. Talk just a little bit, because I found the story just amazing.
The way our school does it, to go into third and fourth year for clerkships, we can go to like 12 different sites since we're not already affiliated with a large hospital at the school. So there's like a kind of a mini match process, you can say, where you rank where you want to be. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us got together and said, hey, like there's a lot of spots in Abingdon, Virginia, I guess because most people want to live north from our school, there was a lot of spots available. So we thought, you know, how about we stay together since this has been so good for us? And I think around 8 or 9 of us end up going to Abingdon. And it was great to continue those Bible studies in fellowship.
We kind of decided that our weekly Bible studies were what got us through the first 2 years. And we weren't ready to do that on our own yet. We wanted to keep that fellowship group close. And it was a hard decision for a lot of people because they had to choose to pick, you know, a site that's more rural, farther away from their families. I think a lot of people were originally planning on moving back towards their families if they could, but we decided, you know, the day-to-day support that we would have was worth it. So we all chose to put Abingdon as our number one choice, and we all got it.
I'll confess, having worked with medical students these many years, what I heard you all do and the decision you made in making that decision through a filter of saying, we think that our body life is really the key thing that we need to bring with us into our third or fourth years, I'd say that's very countercultural. Let me ask you, did you get any pushback? Anybody advise you differently, say, maybe you should consider other criteria simply than just staying together?
I don't think we did get much pushback.
Yeah, our families were very supportive of it. They thought that it was a great idea. Okay. There were a few of us in our group for sure that had second thoughts, I would say. You know, this is really far from my family, but, you know, the more we thought about it and prayed about it together, the clearer it was. And it wasn't like an all or nothing, like people could make their own decisions, but we all just chose to at the end of the day.
Etta and Chad, I'm not sure exactly how it works at VCOM, but I certainly know that rotations that I had in medical school, there were places that everyone agreed together, that's the primo place. You know, if you want to get future letters of recommendation, experiences, and put on your CV as you're applying for residency, these are the places you want to be. And I sort of got the idea on that Friday evening as I came and shared with your group that you had some classmates who are not lightweights. I mean, they had done well. I remember in particular one of your classmates wants to go into orthopedics, and you can't be a slouch as a student and match in orthopedics these days. So what I think I heard was that some folks had to say, you know what, it's more important for me to have this fellowship and encouragement through these 12 months of rotations than for me to have this primo place to do my electives. Did some of that happen?
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big sacrifice that a lot of people had to make, because in Abingdon, we don't have a big academic research hospital where we can get involved in, you know, publishable research just at the drop of a hat. The thing that we do have in Abingdon is like these really great doctors who are willing to invest in your daily life and your learning. I mean, they're very invested in your education and they really care about you. So we love that. But you're right, we did have to go in with the knowledge that we were not going to be at a big academic institution. So that was definitely a sacrifice that we all had to make, but it all worked out for all of us.
I thought it worked out really great. Like Etta said, the physicians in Abingdon are incredible, and we got a ton of one-on-one hands-on learning, which was great.
Yeah, and we connected with the physicians there instantly. They loved the community that we had, and you know, we wound up going to church with a few of them, and they helped us many times with a lot of stuff these past couple of years.
So Chad and Etta, you had this great body life at your first couple of years. Now you go into clinicals, and obviously it's a different schedule, different demands. What were some of the challenges taking what I believe was a very life-giving, precious time with these individuals and now carrying it into clinical years? You know, what were some of the challenges? What were some of the pressure points, you know, things that you faced that were difficult?
I think for me, switching to clinicals and just working with the public, and it's easy to get overwhelmed or kind of down when you see a case that maybe didn't go as well as you hoped it would, or you had some challenging patients. And to have a group of believers who are also going through the same thing, and we can relate to each other, that was really good, just to have a support system, because that could, on some rotations, that could really get you down when you just did not have a good day.
Were you able to still meet together? Were you able to have that time of fellowship, or were those times often more difficult to have?
Oh, yeah. It was maybe a little more difficult, but a lot of us end up going to the same church, and we would usually have like a small Bible study right after church. We'd go get breakfast together, but for the most part, we were able to keep up.
Yeah, we would still have meetings on Friday evenings in someone's house where we would do like a worship session where some of our friends are more musically talented than us, and they would lead worship, and then one of us would just lead a small like devotion or Bible study. And because of our different schedules and third year with different rotations, it would look a little different. Like sometimes some of us would be on call and in scrubs and have to leave in the middle of it, but for the most part we were able to meet pretty much every Friday afternoon. At times there was some pressure maybe to prioritize other things because you're working long hours and you want to take your time off to, you know, get life things done or something like that. But I think we always made it a priority. So mm-hmm. that was good.
So during that junior year or third year of medical school and fourth year, I think even that evening I was in your home that you explained that there were one or two faculty there in Abingdon that you witnessed in one way or another integrating their faith into healthcare. Tell me about the impact that had on you and your fellow classmates that were there in Abingdon.
My first rotation was a surgery rotation with a surgeon in Lebanon, Russell mm-hmm. County, Virginia. So super rural, very tiny hospital. And the surgeon, Dr. Kerr, he just kind of took me under his wing and helped me kind of get started. And he would pray with his patients before he operated if they wanted him to. He would talk to me about his faith. He would tell me about the mission work that he's done and the mission trips he's been on and how important he felt like that was in his life. So I think just that kind of gave me some like instant like comfort and peace, knowing that we made the right decision. We're in a good place. We're surrounded by people who can support us not only in our education but our faith. So that meant a lot to me.
We had some really good role models here and people who I felt like left a roadmap for us to follow later in our career in terms of our faith. And it was great to see the patients' interactions with the doctors who incorporated their faith. It was very positive.
So you are both, telling us that as you look back, it was a good thing that you decided to do. Did anybody in the group say, well, you know, or maybe they didn't match, or you know, for one reason or another, it didn't work out perfectly for them? Is there a rest of the story, so to speak?
We all matched in great places yeah. in the specialties that we wanted to, and mm-hmm. everyone is happy and excited, I think.
It worked out really well. I mean, a lot of us had great letters of recommendation coming from here. And I know like Etta and I both had a lot of interviewers who talked about our letters and how personal it was.
Yeah, I think the personal connections we made with the physicians were just as valuable, if not, well, I think they're more valuable than some of the experience you can get in these big academic hospitals in the big cities.
Mm-hmm. Well, now looking beyond too, these are relationships that I know will stick with you for a lifetime. No doubt about that. So given that your residency programs probably have distributed you all throughout the U.S. in different places of the country, what are your plans to stay connected? I know that that'll come a unique challenge doing so long distance, but have you talked through that in ways that you might find touch points and ways to stay connected during your residencies?
We've discussed that a little bit and it's still kind of in the works, but we've been meeting up via Zoom. Mm.
Who
recently.
Hasn't these days, right?
I know, right? So we've been doing like some game nights and stuff like that on Zoom. And so we hope to stay in touch because like you said, we're pretty much all of us are all spread out. Mm-hmm. I don't think hardly any of us ended up in the same city. So yeah, we're probably going to rely on Zoom. And it depends on what rotation you're on currently.
You know, it would be exciting, too, and certainly would be my prayer for you all, is that as you now have been planted all throughout the country, that you take these, you know, you've seen what community can look like in medical school, now to hopefully see that transplanted into your residency programs and maybe seeing new communities being born out of what God did at VCOM for you all.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I think we both have landed in residencies that have strong Christian presence in them already, and we're hoping to become a part of that and contribute however we can. I know for my residency, one reason that I chose it is because I've talked to several residents during my interview day who mentioned their faith and said that they had, you know, Bible studies and good churches around here that they felt really great at. So that's one reason that I chose this.
Let me ask you, just as you, again, continue to move forward in this, you've seen Grace Prescriptions, I trust, in some, you know, some of those modules and ways of integrating practice, but you've seen that incarnationally in the lives of the doctors that God's put in your way. How do you see all that impacting the way that you move forward as integrating your faith into the practice of medicine?
I think, at least for myself, my goal is to kind of find ways to express my faith to my patients and then just see how they respond, if they're interested in praying before a procedure or if they're nervous praying about it. One thing that's really important to me is to pray before I go into each room for each patient, just to kind of set the tone and just invite God in with me. So I think that's how I'm going to start and just see how I go from there.
This experience in Abingdon is going to help me really integrate my faith and my practice, I believe, just because I saw so many physicians here do it. And it'll take some practice, but I'm excited to start integrating that into my daily practice.
And I think here in South Carolina, the residents and attendings that we've already met and know mm-hmm. will be great role models in helping us figure that out for ourselves as we go.
Oh, for sure.
Great.
Talk to us a little bit about what you envision in terms of how you're going to integrate a balance. I'm not sure that either one of you feels called to a career in missions, but how do you envision integrating medical missions, whether short-term, domestic, foreign, into your careers?
We both have talked about this because we want it to remain part of our career, maybe getting in touch with an organization that we can contribute to each year, even if it's a week or a 2 week trip where we can go and help provide care. So I think that's one way we're going to do it.
Yeah, we have our school, VCOM, is very involved in international missions, and we went on a couple mission trips with them mm-hmm. while we were in school, and they've already asked us to come back and precept eventually. We don't have any official trips planned yet, but that's something that we're definitely interested in doing. And then, like Chad said, finding an organization that we can kind of pour into while we're living here, and then a certain amount of time per year go over and, you know, contribute right. physically.
Well, given the time period that we're living in, have you already been warned by your residencies where you're coming in that there's going to be some sort of change in routine because of COVID-19?
I think our orientation might be online. At least mine might be online. They haven't decided yet. And then, but we're still scheduled to start patient care July 1st, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. So what my residency has told me so far, and this could change, there's a big push for telehealth. So it's trying to get that more integrated into our learning.
Thank you for taking time out. And again, congratulations. And God bless you guys as you negotiate very busy years as husband and wife as residents. Thank you, Chad and Etta.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you both.
You know, when I meet young Christian healthcare professionals like Chad and Etta Neighbors, I'm so encouraged and hopeful for the future of CMDA that our Heavenly Father will keep on changing hearts in healthcare through medicine. I want to mention a couple of resources that would be beneficial for the medical students you teach or that you care about. One is entitled Medical Ethics, A Primer for Students by Dr. Bob Orr. This book was written to help Christian medical and dental students as they begin to struggle with what is right and wrong in healthcare. Another great resource to help medical students keep their heads above water during training is Living in the Lab Without Smelling Like a Cadaver by Reverend William Peel. And this is a Bible study to help shape hearts while sharpening medical skills with a reminder you can not only survive, you can spiritually flourish during your medical training. You can get both of these resources by going to cmda.org/shop or just call us toll free at 888-230-2637 and one of our staff will get that resource in the mail to you right away. You should have received an email from Dr. Steve Sartori, the director of our Center for Well-Being, and it contains a link to a free survey on COVID-19 and your career. If you haven't read the email or taken the survey yet, I highly encourage you to do so. CMDA views this survey as an opportunity to collaborate on the crucial task of evaluating the well-being of healthcare professionals. And we will have access to our member survey data as well as a national composite for common survey questions. Now more than ever, CMDA recognizes the critical importance of supporting our members. So please take the time to complete this anonymous survey. It should take you less than 5 minutes. Please also be sure to check out the summer issue of Today's Christian Doctor entitled Courage in the Crisis. There you will find articles containing tips and testimonies applicable to the COVID-19 pandemic and more. Very much related to the COVID-19 crisis and your well-being in healthcare, we have a very important upcoming webinar presented by our Center for Well-Being entitled Going to the Rock from a Hard Place, Hope and Help for the Journey. This will take place on Saturday, June 27th from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and will coach attendees in responding to some of the challenges brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. There will be two separate presentations made by the speakers, Dr. Ann Sen, as well as Pastor Ken Jones, and then our director, Dr. Steve Sartori, with a brief intermission to pause, rest your mind and soul, and meditate with God. Also remember that 2 hours of CE credit will be offered through this webinar. To find out more, please just visit our website under the Center for Wellbeing at cmda.org/wellbeing, or just visit our events page at cmda.org. Next week, I'm looking forward to speaking with Dr. Jennifer Harris, a psychiatrist from Boston, about a book that she co-authored with two other Christian psychiatrists entitled Downcast: Biblical and Medical Hope for Depression. This book, I feel, is so timely in an age of American despair, so be sure to listen in on my conversation with Dr. Harris. Remember that, like any other podcast, you can subscribe to CMDA Matters on iTunes or Google Play, and have this weekly podcast downloaded on your phone or other device automatically. That's certainly how I listen in. After reflecting on our current events and speaking with Chad and Etta today, I want to conclude with a scripture that's focused on community and unity as powerful witnesses to the authenticity of our faith. Psalm chapter 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." And then in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, on that last evening before his trial and his death, he told his disciples in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, speaking to his Father, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, Father, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." The body of Christ serving as one in a loving community. In my heart, I know that matters to each one of you listening. And what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.